morning, Australia. Good evening, America, and welcome to everyone listening across the planet. Now, before I get started with the show, I just want you to know if you're a woman listening to this show, if you've got a business, you're thinking about a business, you've got an idea for a business, then I don't want you to miss this show today. Friday is one of my favorite days because I get to share it with Annie Gibbons. And Annie, I will tell you about in just one moment. Now, if you're listening live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, we have Hannah ready and waiting to provide you with the links that we talk about today and to provide, take your comments and feed them back to us. Now, just a reminder, if you want to catch up on the shows you missed, because this is the third in our Women's Secret Women's Business series of shows, I want you to jump on over to YouTube where you can catch all the episodes. You can also find them on Binge Networks, Zondra Networks, Hero Go, and the Tony TV channel. And Tony TV is available on all LG, Roku, and Samsung smart TVs across the globe. And also, you're able to download the app on iPhone and Android. Now, each and every week, we do an important part of our role in acknowledging the special and important role Indigenous communities play in the development of our cultural history. So today, I want to respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region, Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia, the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, and I want to pay my respect to the elders past and present, and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people here listening and watching today. Now, Annie Gibbons is the most passionate, purpose-driven fempreneur I know. She is a CEO, a global women's empowerment coach, a podcast host, a co-host of a TV series, a speaker, and a number one best-selling author. She is the founder of the Women's Business Incubator, Life by Design, and Women Collaborating Globally. Annie is a digital powerhouse, helping to push the limits of what is truly possible, and she is positioned as one of Australia's leading voices for women in business. And I know that soon she will be the leading female voice in global business. Such is my belief in the power of this woman. Now, women around the world are invited to access Annie's wisdom that's been gained through decades of applying life and business growth strategies. As the mum of two sets of twins, born 26 months apart, I believe Annie can drive the success of your business forward simply by having coped with two sets of twins so quickly. Annie believes the power, freedom, and confidence women gain from her coaching programs quickly shifts them from where they are now to where they want to be. And those signature programs include the Women's Startup Incubator, the Women's Scale-Up Incubator, Business Domination Incubator, and Life by Design. Now, we've talked about Startup Incubator, and this week we're going to start talking about the Scale-Up Incubator. Annie, welcome back to the show. I'm so delighted that I get to share you with the global audience each and every week. What have you been up to this week?
Oh my goodness, it's such a delight to meet with you again and co-host this show, Tony, and what a beautiful intro. Oh my gosh, I feel empowered to just take on the world totally globally, you know, just nail it, everything I want to do, having your words of empowerment behind me. I've had an awesome week. I have just been, got more people coming into my incubator programs from around the world, which is so exciting. It's just so exciting getting to know where people are at, what challenges they're having. You know, I just see everything as challenges. So while they'll come in and go, oh, I don't know if I'm good enough, oh, I've got these big issues, I go, don't worry, everyone has those issues and we all have them in our own way. So I actually just love, my buzz is just seeing different people join my communities, right? And being able to go, right, now there's only forward, there's only up. It's super exciting.
Because that's the thing, Annie, and I've had so many of these conversations this week in particular, for some reason, about women collaborating and co-creating and the power that that has for women in particular. And before we get on to talking about the scale-up incubator in particular, there's some challenges for us gals around being in business, around starting up and scaling up a business. From your perspective, and you've seen lots and talked to lots of women across the globe, what are some of those key challenges that you see that crop up regularly for women?
I think the key challenges are actually just starting, you know, being in an environment that actually just supports you. When you get those ideas and you bravely share them, I'd love to start this business, own this business, be a businesswoman, be able to achieve a certain lifestyle. It's that, are you in the environment that actually goes, oh, yeah, you go, girl, let's do it with you, alongside you, encourage you. So I think a lot of it is actually just the environment, whether that's in their home, but with their partner, family, friends, that they actually relate to them, and not just relate, actually back them, you know, because that's the reality. When you do something new, you don't have all those skills. You know, if we did, we'd be in business. So it's actually giving ourselves permission to not be great at something and still believe in our greatness, right? Our potential.
Absolutely.
And so that's what it is. You know, when we do anything at the beginning, women love to just nail things, be control, you know, so whether it's our parenting or how we show up or how we, you know, present ourselves, we love having that, you know, we love to build the confidence because confidence is really important to us, but it's always really easy. It's kind of like steps up and then elevator down, you know, if someone crushes it and doesn't believe in you. And so sometimes a lot of it is around the belief. It's also about actually working out, how am I going to have enough seed funding? How am I going to have enough money? What does it even take? And then women often default to self-sacrifice themselves. Go, okay, well, I've got a dream, but, you know, all of my other requirements need more. My husband, my business, you know, his business, or my kids, soccer lessons, everything else. So while everything is important, I think women seeing themselves as a, you know, entitled to actually go, you know what, I'm living this life on this planet. What is my potential? So environment, funding, belief, they're kind of key factors. And also to know that society is statistically and historically against you. So you've really got to join a tribe, which is why I created the Women's Business Tribe, because you suddenly go, okay, we know society and your opportunities are against you. It makes it very difficult. So we actually go, that's the way it is, but we're not like that. We can support you through all of those hurdles. So that's the best outcome.
Absolutely. Annie, the other thing about women is that we are relationship-based. So for us in business, it's important to have relationships with people around us.
Yes.
That can support us, because that's what part of being a woman is. We are relationship based, and the better relationships and the better supportive relationships we have make our business life better. And that's part of the reason why you have the Women's Business Tribe from at the start.
Exactly. Because suddenly people will join and go, oh my gosh, I have found my tribe. I found people who actually get excited about their ideas. We'll be happy to try things and see how they go. Be happy to put them out to the whole tribe and go, what do you think? This logo, that logo, this unique value statement, that, you know, actually go, gee, these people are positive, they're empowering, they're supportive, they're not competitive, you know, they want me to win. That is just golden, you know. And I think a lot of people around the globe, if you're like me in my early days, I didn't have that tribe. I didn't know about these women. And I also thought, wow, those people who've really nailed it are unattainable. You know, they're just like so important. They wouldn't want to share anything with me. And now it's actually the opposite. You know, I work with women dominating business around the world, and I have also, you know, all my main focus is actually people just getting that first idea and starting off their journey. And I actually have created a framework, and I fully embrace it because I live it and breathe it, that women should be collaborating and also just, you know, passing their knowledge and their support onto their fellow woman, because that's how we're actually changing the future, right? We've got to be doing things today that are going to result in a future that it is automatic that women have 50% of opportunities. They actually get equal pay. They are invited, of course, to the table. Why wouldn't they? You know, these things that we actually challenge today should be issues that are not even mentioned in the future. So for us to be able to do that, you know, that's why I absolutely love the tribe, and I love all my collaborations, whether it's book anthologies that I'm creating, I'm involved with others, speaking on summits. It's just gold, because you actually go, oh my gosh, you build your networks, you learn, you grow, and it's always going to be positive. So I think the biggest gem, and we both preach this a lot, is actually just collaborate over compete. You know, there's enough business for everyone.
There is.
You will just personally, not just professionally, you'll personally just blossom, skyrocket your potential just by being nested in that right environment.
And the other thing is to point out that they get your time and your expertise, particularly in the Women's Business Tribe, because Annie is there in that tribe all the time, answering questions, talking to people, and helping the gals that join. Annie, today we wanted to talk about the scale-up stage of business. So when we talk about scale-up, where are you in business when you reach the scale-up stage?
Okay. There's no definitive place, but generally you're at that stage where, you know, growth is generally you seen as a bit of a linear process. So you, in the startup phase, you're trying to just do everything yourself. You've basically got what we call a minimal viable product. You've got something that kind of works. It's out to market, and it doesn't have to be squeaky clean. All right. Mm-hmm. So you've got a website, you've got some communications happening. You're telling people about your product or your service. And even though you haven't got everything sort of automated, fully functioning, you know, you've spent that usually first year. So if I looked last week, we were talking about startups. So we went from idea to launch in 6 months. And then I really like to just consolidate that down for at least a year. Now, it could be longer. It could be 2 years, 3 years. But at some stage, you're going to hit a wall. And the wall will happen because you're wanting to, grow and also scale. So to grow, these people, usually they're at that stage going, oh my gosh, like I've been going pretty well now. I'm getting a bit more confident. I usually am around about 100K, so that when you've got 100,000 revenue, you go, I can definitely quit my day job. This can be my main gig. And then you think, I want to grow. Now, a risk at this stage, you've got a few risks. One, you've got to have cash. You've got to have you've got to have a little bit of funding to invest in new business, right? So you've got to then have a bit of a nest, like you did when you started your business. You have what we call seed funding, all right? Mm-hmm. So you had that to start. Well, around this scale-up time, around that 100K, you've actually got to go, oh, okay, I now need to not just scrape everything as a profit and be able to learn to pay me and all those sorts of things. I actually need to then go, okay, now I'm going to start investing a little bit in my, you know, in my marketing, my automation, my, you know, replication, a little bit of staffing and things of that nature. So one, we've got to have cash. We've also got to be worrying about our risk is cash flow while we do that. You're suddenly changing your recipe. So you've got to have cash to invest, cash flow coming in. You've also got to be aware of bad debts, because if you don't watch that while you're suddenly focusing on your new, exciting, scalable future, you can then suddenly have some, you know, money not coming in that you expected to. So you've got to get better at that, because you're going to get more more accounts, more sales coming through. So I think when you think of growth as being linear, as I said, you sort of think, if I put some more resources into this business, if I actually put some more capital, or I've put some more people, or I put some more tech, then the business will come back to me. It's kind of a main concept. If I put more in, doesn't more come out? And yes, theoretically it does, but that it also allows you just to have a lot more to manage, right? And so the secret of scaling is actually going, how do I get grow exponentially at the right rate, all right, because you can grow too quickly. How do I do that exponentially with the minimal amount of spend, the minimal amount of effort for the maximum return? And so that's where we actually do need that money to be invested, because we start looking at all those things we started to put in place and you've got happening in reasonable levels in your startup business. But then suddenly you go, oh my gosh, you know, an example is a client I had the other day who, you know, she missed something because she was out delivering, you know, dropping off, you know, postage of her products and services. And you go, okay, if you're at this stage and you're 100K, instead of her having the daily run to the post office, she needs to have a drop ship situation that sale came in and that product is dispatched, because her time, her effort, her waiting, is that her best value? Now that's okay up to 100K because you're it. Right? Yes. You're usually doing everything, and you know, we all know we spend more hours than we say we are. Love it so much. So when you talk about return of investment, you go, I'm working 40 hours, even though you're working like 90. And some of that might be actually things that you don't even notice. You're actually out, doing postage, you know, manually doing certain tasks, manually sending emails to people instead of having an automated process. And so it's all those systems and processes that you've done, and they kind of work. So it's kind of like it's not broken, but to scale, I want to know that she's not losing that time and effort, that she's got things in her business that will then work for her so she can be doing more business. She can actually start. So while we at the beginning of business startup, we do 100% of everything. Our goal by the time we get to next week's discussion is that we're actually our top 20%. So I'd say in scale up phase, you're kind of around that 50, you know, and so what's going to happen there is you're going to suddenly have to trust others and trust your technology. And this is so hard because it's your baby. Hard. And then if we start talking about all the requirements, which are employ someone, even if it's a casual, oh my gosh, it does your head in. Kind of go, what if they don't do it right? What if they, you know, have a different way of explaining something? What if they don't get my pitch perfect? You know, whether it's a sales manager, someone responding to your emails as your PA, it makes, when you talk before, Tony, what is the biggest hurdle? Often it's just that sense of lack of control that just sends you into a tailspin. And then that actually, I call it putting on the handbrakes, right? You're all excited, but I don't want to let go of any of it. So I'll just keep doing it all. And then you're at major risk of burnout.
Absolutely. And that is a big risk in this stage of business, is that burnout. I'm sure from your years of experience, you know that there are ways to have employees that help your business. So, for instance, a part-time employee or a contractor, or I work with a company that does the hiring and the everything, does everything for you, including the payroll and all the rest of it. All I do is pay them, and I have that staff member. So there's lots of options for women that you may not know about, and this is why Annie created this scale-up incubator stage, so that you can have access to the tips and tricks and wisdom that she's gained over decades, because you don't have to always do it so tough. And when we talk about automation, once you start to ease into automation and start to trust the automation, it really does give you value and time back, doesn't it?
It gives you so much time back. It's so, almost like it's too good to be true. You know, this person, you know, just enrolled in my incubator and all of a sudden they get their welcome email for me. And I've already pre-planned that. So from time, it gives me time back, but it also just is a delightful process. It's better Yes. customer service because, you know, whether it's, you know, enrolling in my online program or whether you've actually just bought something from an online shop, whatever it is that you're doing business with, the most immediate the response and the most sort of prepared it is and the most tailored and consistent it is actually is also way better for the customer. So rather than you thinking in the early days, oh, okay, something just came in, I've got to respond to them. But then I got a bit busy because I had to take my kid to, you know, ballet classes or do something, you know, so I'll then get back to them. And then I got back to them. I got so excited. I sent them three emails the next day. And then I forgot a little bit. And then I sent them one 5 days later. Whereas that's it. Once you've got automation, and some people go, oh, but that's less personal. You then learn how to write them in such a beautiful way that you then, we do, we sit down in the incubator and go, what is the customer journey? What do they want to receive at this time?
It's like a little map, isn't it? It can actually map it out to go, when they purchase something, this is what I want to happen. This is the message that I want them to get. And I want it to happen as within an hour of a purchase or immediately on a purchase. So automation gives you the rules, I guess, to set up your business the way that you want to, that is uniquely you, and that comes from a place of, I actually want this message to go to you about this at this time. And it just gives you back time whilst looking after people in a way that you want to from your business perspective.
I think at the beginning, we're all focused on the perfect customer, you know, the perfect avatar, as we call them. Who is this person? And I want to do business with them. The next sort of scale up phase goes and says, I want every single person to have the role
to feel this way.
Treatment. I want everyone to feel this way. I want to know that because it affects my brand, it affects my quality and my service, but it's massive on customers' experience. And that's what is one of my total passions. I want to know that every single customer has a fantastic experience above and beyond, because in many businesses, that actually is your unique value. That someone else took time, someone else lost your order, someone else didn't understand you, someone else you told them something and it didn't get taken up, you know. And for you as the customer, once you start thinking more on the customer's journey and actually getting that, then it doesn't matter. You can then have someone assisting you with your, you know, your, you know, bookkeeping or your, as your PA. Yes. But all of your systems and automations will work irrespective of who it is. It doesn't have to now be Annie or Tony. It can actually, it just works. And also, as you then start to scale big, you start thinking of a way of going, okay, at the beginning, the first 12 months or so, it's all you, so you've only got so many hours in the day. Then we start the early scale up. So we're actually looking at automation to sort of grow. We get excited. What if I went from 100K to 200K? Oh my gosh, that would just be crazy. But I actually start moving you towards that domination mindset, a seven-figure mindset. So then it actually says, well, what happened if anyone in the world bought your product? What do you have available for them? You know, how do you show up on every single platform and it's everything consistent? And also, as you do more and more things, because, yes, you grow. Scaling is just growing exponentially. So as you grow and you offer more things, you have to have the consistency. So it doesn't mean that on one you get this perfect Rolls-Royce experience and then you get something else, which we know is all a new product, new program, new service.
Yeah.
Customer doesn't know that. So they then get something and that second choice was terrible. Now, what do we want in business? We want lifelong customers. It takes three times as hard to get a new customer as to keep the one you've actually got. Mm-hmm. And so we need to love them to death. And I do. I love all my tribe so much. Because one, they make my heart sing. But two, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't you just love what's in front of you? So an example of this is, you know, I've just been running a company that, you know, then had its first fundraiser. So you have a national fundraiser or a global fundraiser. Well, on that fundraising journey, there were 52 different little emails, whether you started, hesitated, stopped in the shop, didn't donate it, but all your friends didn't donate. There's all these moments that in the journey, and it's a fundraising journey, but it's also a customer journey. Did they get stuck in the shop and they forgot to come back? Did they, you notice they put something in the shop and then they took it out. So actually, does that mean they're hesitating?
Do they not like it?
What is the analytics on that? You know, all those sorts of things, you actually want to spend more time. So I think in that scale-up phase, we're also freeing up time, becoming replicatable, reproducible to the same quality. And then we're also spending time analyzing our data. Because you free up some time, able to then go, yeah, where are most of my customers coming from? You know, Is there a theory here? Should I even go and research them a little bit more? What does my data tell me about these clients? And then be able to, you know, invest back in making that better. I'm a massive fan for always going with your strengths rather than, you know, obsessing around your weaknesses. And so, yes, you can tweak those. Or if you've identified a real weakness now that you're shining in one area and one area is just driving
you're not really great.
That's your area that you probably want to outsource. And then we then look at all those options. So once again, the risk of failure is always there, right? We need to be really honest and true to that. So rather than, you know, then going, oh, I need to employ someone full-time, is it part-time? Is it casual? Yes. Is it an outsource? And then we also look at, are you going to need this person for a short period of time, for example, to build your automations? Mm-hmm. But is that an ongoing requirement? Once it's functioning, it might be a different recruit to manage, you know, your newsletter content or following up people. And so your business will start changing. You really start looking at it more from that next little bird's eye view rather than being in it. When you're in it, you're just madly scrambling and it's working and it's so exhausting and so exciting and so stressful and it's like
all of those things.
All those things. So the scale up actually allows you to take that moment to go, all right, what if I don't do absolutely everything? What do I then start to relinquish? And then also, how do I become more efficient and effective and consistent? And then what if I was even away? So we then start looking at, you know, what are the main risks to your business? You know, if you disappeared, if something happened, because you've now got a decent sized business, right?
Yes.
And so it's not as if you can go, oh, sorry, just shut down the shop for a little while. I'll open it up again in a little while. You know, you've done a lot of work, a lot of blood, sweat and tears there. So you want to make sure that everything just keeps going.
Absolutely. Annie, why is it so important, particularly in this stage, to have the right information, education, support and knowledge? How much does that impact on how well you'll do and how well you'll manage? I from my perspective, it's just as important as the business itself is having the right knowledge and support.
It's absolutely huge because it stops you from having to have, you know, you will always have learning experiences, but it stops you from having those significant ones that you didn't need to have, right? When you employ a coach, you join a program, you're into something that is a lot of business is, you know, bread and butter to someone else. They've lived that journey. Someone like me, you've had 30 years, you've been running companies, bits and pieces. So things that we just do automatically, you don't know, and you don't know what you don't know. And you, but you want to go, okay, well, I'll try it. So there's a lot of waste. There's a lot of, there's things, and I'll have people even hesitating to come into my programs. They go, oh, I've already, you know, I've given out, I've tried other things. So what they're saying is I've already had so much drain and I haven't even got going. So there's financial waste. There's a lot of time. There's energy. You've also been hurt more because you've tried things. Other people have told you. So the emotional baggage increases because you're then sort of trying to still tell people you're going to be successful, but you actually, your belief has been crushed, Tad, and that is totally recoverable, but that impacts you. So you've got all these things happening. So when you, the ideal situation is that you have enough seed funding to actually start, even from startup to actually things. You know, the dream person is so well set up that the scale is quite easy. The reality is most people don't have that, and that's completely unfair. understandable, right? Who's just sitting there going, oh yeah, I've got so much money, I'm just going to employ someone for every little part perfectly. It's like, yeah. Oh man, I want to be that person, right? Everyone else hates you. Yeah. And so we do what we can, but this is your time that you go, okay, I actually know that I don't have 100% confidence about every single aspect of my business. Did I dot every I? Are there areas that I'm unaware of that are now holding me back that someone else in business goes and says, oh, well, that's going to be a risk. That's going to be a problem. You're exposing yourself there, or you're not capitalizing in this time because you don't know when is the time to put down the pedal, you know? So is it now? Am I ready to scale, or do I have to do some more things? Which is why in my scale up program, I actually include the startup program, because that'll be, you want to have that, I'm starting to scale, and then if there's an issue, we go back to the startup and we've got all those guys, because you know, all of it is a dynamic journey that you're just strengthening all of those things that you could have done perfectly at the beginning and you're flying through. Or you actually go, okay, so that's when you said, when is the time? It depends on how well they've done the beginning parts. And there's never to be any guilt or
there's
shame,
no rules, or
embarrassment on any of that, because let's face it, you know, you just suddenly go, you know, we had a global pandemic. I suddenly went, what am I passionate about?
Yes.
I'm passionate about making a jewelry. I'm going to learn online how to make jewelry, and now I'm selling it and I've got no idea what I'm doing, but suddenly people are buying my things. And so
And
that's awesome. And then you go, okay, another tutorial, how to get an online shop better and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. We all just grow organically, most of us, you know. So if you're in that place, oh, my gosh, you know, you need to go to have a giggle at yourself from all the stress and the negative stuff you said to yourself, because most people like that. So what we do at Scale Up is actually we go and say, all right, no more excuses for us to scale. If you really want to scale and continue growing, but you want to grow at the right rate, because you don't want to grow suddenly and then have all these expenses, you know, such as provisional tax. I don't know if they have that globally, but in Australia, if you've had a great year, maybe you would just booming, and then you went, I'm ready to grow more, you can suddenly get hit with a tax bill because they think you're going to do the same in the next year, and you might not. And this can actually bring people down. So what a coach does, Tony, is actually, you know, and being in a program that's got it all done for you and does it with you, actually just gives you that confidence, goes, I'm not going to get blindsided by anything. Everything I'm aware of, and I also don't have to do it now. I can do it whenever I'm ready, in my own time. It's all online. And then that's it. You drop into the coaching sessions, of which I've got about like 30 in a month. You know, you've just got a lot of coaching. So you just drop in whenever you're ready. You send back your homework. You send back your templates. You ask for something. And then it just happens. And then what happens is over that year, you go, oh, my gosh, I now, even if I'm confident to then know who to employ, what my needs are, what my risks are, you know, all the things that might not sound as exciting, but I tell you what, if you don't nail them, you have a very short period of excitement and then you crash and burn. Yeah. And you know, that is the reality of business. And we want, in all of my tribe, in all of my coaching,
we want them all to succeed.
I want success. I want raving success. I want people to go, oh my God, why didn't I do this 10 years earlier, 20 years earlier, which is actually really common, which comes back to my journey, right? My journey would have said, oh my gosh, well, you know, I used to be like this and everyone shot me down. You know, my only regret is, I could have done that so much earlier if I had a tribe, if I had the program, but I didn't know and I was intimidated. And so, you know, you go a different path, which obviously worked out for me. But, you know, it's always nice to say.
You want to prevent other female entrepreneurs from having and getting into some of those pitfalls, and your eyes and help will also help them avoid some of those and sometimes you can't see what you can't see. You need that external eyes or that external thought to go, oh gosh, I hadn't thought about that, but oh, that might make a real difference in my business.
You learn to, when you're experienced, when you've been doing this, you know, in an executive way, we call it being able to read the game, read the room, read the environment, know things. Because we are at that stage that we're working in our top 20%. So we are able to just foresee. We've seen not only things happen in our career journey, I'm able to then go, when you coach thousands of people, you go, I know all their journeys. And then you go, okay, so you just have a lot of experience. So when in under your situation, I can't guarantee this will happen, but I can say you're at the likelihood. My experience says this is your red flag, and so it doesn't matter. You know, even a top athlete goes and says they get to read the, you know, because they're so confident, they're so fit, they're so capable, they actually get to read when other people are fatiguing, when other people are doing things poorly, and they capitalize, right? And so it doesn't matter. They're principles that actually allow, you know, you as the coach to go, oh, okay, so your next challenge will be, you know, do this and do that. And I have people in my program all the time going, can I jump to step five? And you're like, no. You can, but it's fun. I agree. It's a lot of fun. Who doesn't love marketing? And but, you know, my experience is if you focus too much there and don't do this, this is your risk. And then they can choose to take it or not. And because they're in the program and everyone else does it, they're still okay, gonna... I'll do it. And you'll do it for the right reasons. So the value of a coach, it is their
immense.
Their wisdom, their experience, and is immense. And, you know, even I have a coach.
Yes.
You always want to be coached by someone who is just not just one level up, you know, two or three or five, you know.
Yes.
So, oh, my gosh, in your area that you relate, you go, oh, my gosh, like that, I want to learn from them. Now, you can't do exactly like them. You won't be but you will, with the right coach, they'll be able to just put the breadcrumbs and also just the ideal coach is the one who actually says it's, you know, some things are law, some things are requirement, and a lot of things are a bit of a gray. You've got to make it your own. So you learn principles and then apply them to your context, your personality, your leadership style. Because once you start moving in this phase, a big thing is going to be culture. You know, what does your brand represent? What do you represent? And when you start getting other people out there, whether it's a sales manager or, you know, someone PR or someone sending your emails, your culture is super, super important. So,
I was just going to say, I've been, before coming on the show today, I'd been in a Zoom meeting with C-suite executives talking about this very thing, and I just wanted to share with you something because I thought it might be helpful for our listeners, and it was around culture and teams, and the comment was that it's your power is in your people, and that relates to the culture that you build within your business. And it was about empowering your team to be part of your vision and part of where you want to go with the business. And it links to how you start to think about culture and how you want your company or your business to be perceived in the marketplace, isn't it?
Absolutely. Your people are gold. You know, I've just finished up in one of my businesses, and it's been really interesting finishing up there and hearing what people say. And sometimes it's not your, you know, all of your achievements and your accolades. It's actually just, you know, that I was inspirational leader, that I believed in them, you know, that I trusted them, that they were able to really excel in their space. And so a lot of culture, which is why you then need to have all those other things that you don't have in a startup, onboarding programs. You need to have policy and procedure manuals.
Yes.
You need to be clear about what your vision and values are, because you know them anyway. But if someone else does, everyone in your business needs to start thinking
understand the same
exactly what you believe, so it is replicatable, right? And so one of the biggest things is I think employees of any kind, you know, they love to be part of something bigger, valued, and they want to have that autonomy. You know, they've got that skill, that experience, they want to have autonomy. When you're the boss, you want to have control. So it's that balance between giving someone else a new autonomy to be themselves, but you also want to be in control in a good way and not in a bad way. So in a good way, you control your vision. You can, you know, working towards that, your strategy, values, the way your business shows up, the way other people receive any sort of bit of information. You become like micro, this is my total baby, and I want it to be stronger and stronger and stronger, because that's what brand value is, right? Depending on who's working with you. And eventually that brand has to be, even if you left, do you have a business that is, you know, strong enough
stand,
to be
yeah.
right, stand alone, and def, or we could start talking franchisable. And so you then also don't want to have too much control, because that trust word has to kick in. You have to go, I've employed these people and I trust them to do their job. When you start micromanaging, they're going to get frustrated. There's going to, it's going to be narky, and you're then not getting the benefits in that scale up phase that you wanted to do. Because so there's a fine line there, but culture, I tell you what, your people are so much so that I love it. I used to, you know, a lot of people, yes, you do lead from the front and you practice what you reach and bits and pieces, but I actually also then go, I do that, and then I whip around the back, and I actually just sit and I watch and I assess and I monitor, and I just make sure that my team are actually pushing themselves out. It's kind of like they've got this force that if you've got the framework underneath them, they will actually excel, they will blossom. While you're always there, you're capping them. So it's that trust. You can only go at the back when you trust they're not going to go rogue, all right? Otherwise they're hurting herding cats, as we say. So a lot of people think they've always got to stay. Well, I'm the leader of this company. I'm the CEO. I'm making things happen. And then, yes, that's okay. But
your staff is so important.
Companies actually go, there's that fine tune is totally you are the biz, but you really love that team. You support that team. You empower them to be the best of themselves and their skill set for the business, and that will make all the difference, because then they start treating it like family, right? It's the difference of I just do my day job, that when you pour, you know, support and belief into
your team,
oh, my gosh, like they go above and beyond, which is lovely. Not that they have to, but they want to. And that helps your culture, because they just go, you know, that's a delight to me as a CEO. Yeah. I then go, oh, my gosh, you know, one of my colleagues presented somewhere, and they go, they were such a delight, because they said all the, you know, they spoke the same language, you know, they had the same passion, they had the same energy. So you've got to start in a scale up, you start identifying what all these things are. In a startup, sometimes you go, well, it's me. And so you haven't unpacked that, and it might not be necessary, but in the scale up phase, it is very necessary, because once you decide you will trust that person, how do they show up and what are the potential cracks, and how do you support them rather than hold them back? How do you support them? It's all about enabling your business and your people to be able to achieve next level success.
Yeah. Annie, I'm curious, with all your decades of experience, I'm curious if you've got a quick little story around how culture impacts the way a business performs. So in other words, have you come across a business or someone you've worked with where the culture was toxic, and in turning around that culture, it completely made the difference in the business?
Oh, I have so many experiences.
Yeah, I thought
that.
So.
one of them was back, you know, a couple of decades ago when I was a nursing teacher. You know, there was one, you know, the person who was the head teacher actually only gave out enough information so that people could kind of do their job, but they never felt really confident, because she always had to then come in and save the day, you know, and say, oh, my gosh, I'll do it. And so it was this way of her feeling that, oh, they need me, I'm running things. But the staff were always just a bit confused. They didn't feel empowered. And eventually you just do what's required, and you feel like I'm always going to fail. When you don't have that confidence, you go, you know, and eventually you then leave, because you go, well, it must be me. Maybe I'm not, maybe I'm missing something. I had another environment where we had a fantastic CEO and everyone was happy. So the whole team, great culture, success story. The new CEO came in, and a lot of leaders do this. They suddenly act like, oh, thank God I'm here, you know, and so, you know, I need to change everything. I need to put my flavor on it and this and that. Well, when a business has already got that and the people are living and breathe it, sometimes a good leader actually just sits there and assesses and monitors. You might fine-tune some things, but you don't suddenly change it. So suddenly coming in with a whole different culture, which then what happened was within 12 months, like 80% of the staff had actually rolled over, which is a really sad outcome because they've then gone, I'll go somewhere else because I don't understand the new culture. How did we change? Was what we were doing not right? You know, it gets confusing, they lose confidence, they don't feel like they're gelling as a team. And so these sorts of factors, you know, you think they're not very big, but they're absolutely huge. If you look at when there is a change in a business, what the on effect that is, and whether it's 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, you start looking at cycles of businesses, you know, and even at my level, if I was employing even as someone in C-suite, I'd go and say, well, you know, what percentage of their staff stayed within a period of time? You know, what was that retention rate? You know, not that you have to keep everyone because some people should go on to other things.
Yeah,
but
and do other things.
High, something, you know, what is actually happening there? Or not just your KPIs, what are the KPIs of the team so that they really own those positions? So there's a lot of factors that I see in lots of businesses that often change which doesn't equate with what the message that you're given. It's confusing, it's disempowering, it's devaluing. And those sorts of things have massive effect on a business because this person goes, why am I here? And while we want our why, you know, our why is our, you know, reason to get up and breathe every day and get excited about all of our business, your staff need to have that why too, you know, and it has to be consistent and congruent with, you know, who you are, what the company stands for, and also what their value. Every person there is getting a value. You need to make sure that that value stays there. So therefore, even once we start getting further along the line, we'll then start talking about, you know, making sure our staff continue learning. You know, what support do we have that they continue being happy and growing? Otherwise, they'll get bored as well. So there's many aspects to business that you don't think, you know, what happens on the entrepreneurial journey rather than when you're in sport? All of those stages are put in place in some HR department, whereas when it's you they go,
haven't done that.
You go, I haven't done that, or I employed
someone didn't think about that.
Wait for a year and then they suddenly left and you go, because they were great and they loved the first 6 months, but then you took advantage of them, or you didn't you didn't praise them, you didn't recognize their wins, they weren't feeling the love, whatever it is, and not everyone communicates well, and that's really sad because you need so culture. I totally agree with that last meeting you had. Your team are absolutely your gold, and you know, the stronger you make your team, it's exponential, right? You're actually it's synergistic, you know, so the sum of those parts is total synergy, so you will just you know gives you that potential to be exponential in the results that you have.
Fantastic. Now, Annie, before we run out of time, I want to talk today about the Women's Business Tribe, and in particular the scholarships. And I'm not sure if many people realize just how passionate you are about women and scholarships. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just, as I get older and more successful in my business, I really want to give back, and I want to give back to those women globally who are in situations that they go, yeah, that would be really nice to do a program, a startup program or a scale-up program, but I actually will just never have those funds. So while you can pay in payments and things like that and tell you what it's the most affordable program you're going to get,
absolutely,
it can still be a barrier for some. And I'm talking about usually in third world countries, people who might have been, you know, just coming out of, you know, domestic violence issues, you know, that they know they're capable, but they just don't have those funds. So I actually give away in my scholarship program $300,000 worth of scholarship in my program per year. It is pretty cool. And so I have people, I've had a lady just joined from Botswana and another one from Trinidad. I've got people coming in. And so there's an application process that you just pretty much there's full scholarships and there's partial scholarships.
Yes.
and you can apply. Just go to womensbiztribe.com.
It's really simple.
It's really simple. You pretty much just send me a cover letter and your resume and tell me about your situation, and then I'll assess that with my team. And based on available positions, of which they are still available positions, you'd be welcome. You would seriously start like tomorrow.
How exciting.
So it's really exciting, and I actually love that, because we as successful business women, you know, to have that joy to actually be able to give that leg up to someone, you know, and those people are often, you know, the best students, because they're like, oh my gosh, this changes my world, me personally, my family, sometimes your community, you know, it's just got this domino flow, and it affects generations after you, because you then become
definitely
who actually your children and grandchildren will go, yeah, well, that's right, I had this role model. And so I think that's really important as well, rather than just go, well, like, I would do absolutely everything, but I can't, like, genuinely, then just reach out to me. I'm so easy to find. And definitely,
I was going to say, womensbiz.com.
Come to womensbiztribe.com. You'll see the prospectus there. You can apply online. And our process of assessing them is actually very quickly. Basically, they're there until they run out. And so jump on that opportunity. We would love to have you join us.
And I would encourage women who are listening, and even if you've just got the glimmer of a business idea, grab one of these scholarships, particularly in the startup incubator, and get started.
Just
don't know what you can create until you take that first step. And it's so simple, with Annie and the team providing a really simple conduit or way to get you into the program. And then you're off.
You're off and running. Absolutely. And then you do it in your own time, around your own circumstance. And that's why I don't have a generic model that go in and do this, finish in a certain amount of weeks. Because I'm a mum who had five kids, including two sets of twins. I had to juggle different lifetimes, responsibilities, requirements. And so that's exactly why I've set it up that way. You're never going to get kicked out. You can do it in your own time. You have your own pace based on how confident you are, how long it takes you to achieve all of those goals. And there's no competition in that. So it's absolutely wonderful. I also want to reassure everyone, there are no hidden costs there. It's not as if I'm going to say, oh, then you have to buy the textbook and then you have to do this or that. Absolutely not.
Included.
You receive a scholarship of any kind, it's all included, and you pretty much just join the tribe and join the incubator program with your fellow, your entrepreneurs, fempreneurs, as we call them.
Absolutely.
And then who want to join?
You get to chat to Annie all the time.
I know. That's right. You know, constant chat, constant excitement, constant woohoo moments. I am into celebrating small wins all the time. We don't wait for the grand day. We just go, no, what have you done today, this week? Yeah. And we get all excited about it. And you are just going to love it. You're just going to love the energy and the vibe
support.
And the support. You're going to feel so nested and so loved. And, you know, for me, that's why I call myself really a holistic business coach, because I just see the whole woman. When you come to work, women don't come and just check out a life and then do a bit of work and finish.
No, there's lots of stuff going on.
Multitasking, thinking, we've got so much happening. And so we work around that. It's actually the whole woman comes to the table, and we then go, right, how can we in your circumstance just help you to thrive? And there's stepping stones, all little baby steps that all add up every single day. For those who also want to just check it out or come and even just meet me and have some chats, just go on to womensbiztribe.com. You can have a free month. Just pop into any
just
little webinar that I'm having. Have a look, you know, have a feel, meet some people. And then it's only $10 a week anyway. Like,
how affordable is that?
So affordable. So you can just jump in, you know, have a little look. You're not going to be asked for much. You can then keep coming. And then you'll also get a feel, and you'll really see the difference in the exponential growth of those who are actually doing the programs. So, you know, but you don't want to miss
Amazing. Annie Gibbons, we are almost out of time, but I want to tell the audience that next week we get to talk about Dominate. And that is truly the place where many female entrepreneurs want to get to. So I encourage you not to miss our conversation next week. Annie Gibbons will be back from the Women's Business Incubator, and we'll be talking about her course called Dominate. And don't forget to jump on to the Women's Business Tribe. Check out, get to meet Annie, get to chat with other people in the team, get to chat to other women, see how you feel. If you don't come away feeling supported and encouraged, then that's okay. But I dare you to jump on and get involved with the Women's Business Tribe, because you will find it really, really helpful. Annie Gibbons, thank you so much for being on the show again this week. I can't wait to next week when we get to talk about Dominate. And in the meantime, please, if you're listening across the planet, I want you to jump on and take advantage of those scholarships. They're there only until they run out. So jump on, jump in quick. That's womensbusinessincubator.com and womensbusinesstribe.com. All the information there. I tell you, I've been on there on and off all the time. It's really simple, very easy to navigate, and you'll be glad you did. Annie Gibbons, thank you so much for today. This, my friends, is your show for this week. Secret Women's Business. We'll be back next week for another show with the gorgeous Annie Gibbons. And that's your lot. Bye for now.